you want to live forever? That's a strange question to ask, isn't it? Because obviously, you will expect the answer to be yes. But in reality, you realize that not true in many cases. I'm sure there are a lot of people who do not want to live forever unless certain conditions are changed in their lives. If you are a billionaire, you will want to live forever because of your billions of dollars. If you are a very powerful leader in your country, untouchable, protected by all your elite guards, controlling the nation at will, suspecting any opponents, you can incarcerate them or put them to death, you will want to live forever to enjoy your absolute power. But ask a beggar, do you want to live forever as a beggar? Every day he wakes up, not certain whether he's going to find any food for that day. Don't talk about three meals a day. He is not even sure whether he will have one meal or half a meal the next day. You think he wants to live forever in that state and condition of uncertainty and hunger? Or ask a person who is languishing in the hospital bed, in the intensive care unit, where the moment the painkiller wears off, he will experience excruciating pain that he will have to bite and grind his teeth in order for the pain to find some relief. And the doctor will not give him the dose of painkiller because it will kill him. He will have to wait for the next hour before the next dosage, but that next hour will be so tormenting that he says, I want to die. You ask him whether he wants to live forever in that state and condition of excruciating pain for eternity? No, thank you. And so sometimes when we ask this question, want to live forever, it is usually for people who are healthy and maybe not that wealthy, but with enough, where life seems to be pretty rosy and pretty good. And the answer obviously would be a resounding yes. Under those circumstances, but the moment any one of the two circumstances, either health or wealth, is taken away, that person will probably say, I don't want to live forever unless you give me a certain condition whereby I will permanently be healthy and I will forever be wealthy, and in an environment, the external environment too, must be perfect. We don't want to live forever in this dangerous world where everything is in great chaos, where evil men and wickedness continue to abound, and many of these men and women in great power seems to be untouchable. So why do we want to live forever, even though you may be very healthy and wealthy, in an environment that is so deadly and dangerous? So both must come to pass if you want to answer this question in the affirmative. I truly, sincerely want to live forever if the circumstance around me is pure, good, great, and glorious, no evil, no sinner, and I'm going to be healthy, and I'm going to be wealthy as well. In those circumstances, yes. And I want to be in that kind of environment and in that kind of body. And that is exactly what we're going to look at tonight. Why can't people live forever? This particular account that we have just read, two main persons is mentioned. One without name, that is the young man who died, and the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is mentioned. His name became very well known throughout Judea and the region around Judea because of this incident. Can you imagine someone on earth that has the power to raise the dead? Can you imagine how many people would flock to where he lived, prepared to pay any amount of money to him? If you were to raise my father, my mother, my son, my daughter from the dead, because we do not want to bear the grief of such a loss, especially when it comes to people that we love very much. We want them to be with us forever and ever. Can you imagine such an individual? And the best part is free of charge. You come to him, he will raise you from the dead. No payment needed. What a reputation, isn't it? To find in Judea someone by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, having that ability to raise someone from the dead. Would you go to him? Would you run to him? Would you drop everything, no matter how urgent your business might be, and go to him and find this man? That is exactly why Jesus Christ came. He came to a world where death always has the last word. No matter how young, how strong, how many doctors you visit, how good these doctors are, no matter how advanced medical science become, they can only slow down death, but they can never eradicate death from everyone's life. This is the inevitable end. And here we have an account of Jesus Christ appeared to be very innocuous. He just came into this small little city, Nain, which means beauty. There was no invitation. There was no one telling him, "My son, my friend's son has died. Can you please come and save him? Raise him from the dead." None of these things. He just came, as it were, by accident. And many of the disciples accompanied him, and as well as a great multitude. And then as he approached the gate of this tiny little city at the foot of Mount Hermon, there was a dead man, not a child, a young man who died. And they carried his dead body inside this coffin, bier. And she, the mother, was a widow. And they were weeping. Much people accompanied her. She must be someone that they loved dearly, to be there to comfort her in her time of great loss. To be a widow without a son is the most difficult life to live after that. Who will care for her? Who will protect her? Who will provide for her? No one. They do not have any of our societal provision. They don't have CPF. They don't have the government giving out CDC vouchers. You're on your own. And so the people were there for her at this juncture. Will they continue to look after her after this event where everyone will go on their own lives? Will she be ignored, forgotten? And now she has to eke out her own living without anyone to look after her. Well, the Bible tells us Jesus Christ arrived. Jesus Christ came. And that make a world of difference. Jesus Christ. This was the person of Jesus Christ who walked on earth, who demonstrated this powerful miracle of raising someone from the dead. No longer around. Was he still able to do such an amazing miracle? What is the good of knowing that he did this 2,000 years ago? What has that got to do with me? In my time, there is nowhere to be found. You go to Israel today, you're not going to find him. So what is the purpose of this message tonight? That this Jesus could raise this young man from the dead. And then what? Will he die again? Yes, he will die again. That's for sure. Then what is the point of raising him and let him die twice? You and I know we all fear death. Even though you and I have faith and belief, but the fear of death is always at the back of our mind. Some of us might pretend that it doesn't exist. We try to be as stoic as possible. Maybe that's how we try to cope. Try not to think about death. Some of us are so fearful of death that we become very superstitious. I remember on one occasion where I just attended a wake. And then when I was supposed to go to somebody's birthday, they found out that I came from that wake. And I was told, very, very gently and kindly, please don't come to my birthday. The reason is obvious, isn't it? Fearful that I may invite death on a very happy occasion of a celebration of a birthday, they don't want it to become a death day. Fearful of death. Why? Because of the unknown. That is what we are usually most afraid of. Where will I go? What will happen? Is it going to be the end of everything? So that we try to grab hold of life in this part of my journey on earth. Hold on to it as long as possible, as much as possible. You know, sometimes when we read of many of our members of the church and our loved ones of our church members who are sick in our prayer weekly, when I read them, pray for them, I put myself in their shoes. The amount of money they have to spend, the amount of pain and inconvenience they have to experience in order to extend their life on earth, in order to elongate, as they call it, their time that they need to spend with their loved ones for as long as possible, for as much as possible. They do not care whether their life savings are depleting. They do not care about whatever the doctor tells them, the pain, the inconvenience that they have to go through, the kind of treatment, the kind of drug that they have to go through in order to keep on living. I can only imagine what they must be feeling. Fear, anxiety, a stronger desire to get better, to hold on to this life, because they want to extend this life. No matter how, this body of ours is never designed to live forever on this earth. The simple reason is it's made out of the dust of this ground, this earth. As long as it is made out of dust, dust is basically powder. How can something made out of dust continue to exist forever and ever and ever? It's never designed for that. This body has to be changed in its constituents in order for it to live forever and not be afflicted by any form of bacteria or virus or sickness, not even aging. True? That's the only way for us to live forever in health as well as in wealth. And that is exactly why Jesus Christ came to do, to help us. You may ask, in what way did he come to help us? In what way did he come to help this widow? To help the widow, he had to raise this young man from the dead for the rest of her life. The son will now be there to comfort her, to help her. He did this for our benefit, to let us know that 2,000 years ago he did this to give us one simple message, to answer this question. Do you want to live forever on my terms? Jesus says, not on yours. All of us have our own terms. It has to be on Christ's terms. Because he is the one who has the power of life and death. And therefore, on his terms, it's the only right thing to do. Would you tonight answer this question on the conditions of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not on your own terms, on his terms. His term will always be fair. His term will always be just. His term will always be without prejudice. Whether you are rich or poor, educated or not so educated, what the world, the society thinks of you, it does not matter to him. Isn't that a good term to accept, to agree upon, without prejudice? If he only saved those who are very well educated or very rich, then we are in trouble. But the terms of the Lord Jesus Christ will always be fair and just. And these terms are this. Number one, why can't people live forever? He has to solve that problem because of God's justice. He cannot just simply eradicate God's justice. You and I know what justice means. Why people must die. You and I love justice, don't you? We thank God for our leaders. We thank God for this country from the very beginning, 60 years ago. This country was founded on law and order. A legal system that should be without prejudice. Doesn't matter what your race or religion is, the law applies to everyone equally. And it is very just and fair. Not harsh. Very much fitting the crime that people commit, including the death penalty. That's why Singapore is what it is today, because of its strict laws. And the government and the legal system and the police, they have teeth. And so we have a good country. So much so that many of us, when you read in the papers of some of these horrendous crime committed by people, do you not feel a deep sense of justice in your heart that this person, this man should be severely punished for what he did to even his own child? We live in a very sick society where fathers or stepfathers, why mothers would allow their own daughter, young daughter, 6-7 year old, being attacked and abused by their stepfather. Don't they know this? Don't they do anything to protect the child? And sometimes when you read about even their own flesh and blood would attack, when you read this kind of news, do you get upset and angry? What kind of father would do this kind of thing to a 6-year-old child? They are young, they are helpless. You have this sense of justice? Where do you get this sense of justice from? Animals don't have it. Where do you get it from? From God. Because we are made in God's image. All of us. God has a very, very good sense of justice, and God's law demands everyone who has done wrong has to be punished. God called it sin. And that's why Jesus Christ has to deal with the first question. He cannot just simply ignore God's justice. He is God himself. He is the Son of God. And so following and obeying his own justice is a requirement. Everyone who sins must die. And therefore, when you and I sin against God, and we have sinned against God, idolatry is the worst sin. Idolatry is not a sin against man. It's a sin against God. And it's more than just simply idolatry. Atheism is an idolatry in one form, where he, the man, thinks he is God. That's atheism, isn't it? There's no God. Then who is God? I am God. I decide. I'm the captain of my own destiny, you may argue and think. But that is foolishness. You are not the captain of your own destiny. You have no say when you are born. How can you now begin to think that you have a power over your own life? You never did, and you never will. And that is foolishness. If you think that you have the power over your own life, that is the ploy and the lie of the devil. All of us are born in sin, and we have committed so many sins against God. Because the sins that we have committed against one another, such as lying, is also a sin against God. And we all have lied. When you are angry for the wrong reason, that is as good as killing someone in your mind, in your heart. And that is a sin against God, not only against that individual. When you fall into the sin of the lust of the flesh, fornication, adultery, pornography, all these are serious transgressions against God. And if you think that you want to enter heaven after you have committed all this sin, that if you die, you go to heaven. Let's say God make an exception and let you enter heaven in this sinful state. What will heaven become when you arrive? When your behavior and your conduct is still as evil, as sinful as what it is today. And God put you in a perfect environment such as heaven. All things good, remember, living forever, environment has to be just as good as your body that will never fall sick, never ill. But if your conduct and behavior is evil and wicked and you live forever, can you imagine how awful that would be for you? You will lie for the rest of your life. You will cheat for the rest of your life. You're going to continue to indulge in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes for the rest of eternity. You want that kind of life, even though it may be in a heavenly environment? Does your own conscience not bother you? Can you sleep at night with this kind of nightmare of sin after sin after sin, where the environment is perfect? You can't blame the environment except yourself. That's why the Lord wants you to live forever, but He has to settle and deal with the first question. Why must we die? Because of sin. We have to die. That is God's law, God's justice. That's why people die, because of sin. And so the second question is, in order for us not to die, get rid of sin. Because of sin, we die. So get rid of sin, then we don't die. Logical? That's correct. But how to get rid of sin? We have already committed the sin. I mean, if we start from a blank slate of perfection, no sin, that will be good. But you and I know that the list of sins that all of us have committed by our careless mouth, our careless action, and our sinful thoughts, and our wrongful, self-centered motives, soak in sin. How to get rid of it? We have to be punished for it, all of us. That's the second question that Jesus Christ has to deal with in order for Him to give us eternal life. The law of God demands every sinner must die. But the law of God also permits. You find someone who has no sin to die in your place. Can you find someone who has no sin to die in your place? Then all your sins will be forgiven because you have already been punished. That person has now been punished by God for all the sins you have committed against God. Double jeopardy. Even our legal system, run and controlled by sinful men, can understand double jeopardy. You cannot punish a person twice for the same crime. If he's punished once, he paid the penalty for it, that's it. You can punish him twice. Double jeopardy. And so if you can find someone who is perfect to take your place and be punished by God for the sins you have committed against God, you can find that person. That person will now take your place, and he has to do it willingly. He cannot do it grudgingly. Can you find such a person on earth? God tried to look for someone on earth. None qualified. Because everyone was born in sin. No exception. So everyone has to die for his own sin. And so God had to do everything to help us. And that's why God the Father sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. That's why Jesus Christ entered the city gate of Nain as part of His journey on earth, to let men know that God has sent your substitute on your behalf. Even though you never ask Him, just like the widow never asked Jesus Christ to save this young man, her son. Jesus Christ did it voluntarily, willingly, to come down from heaven. To be our substitute, He has to be exactly like us, flesh and blood, but without sin. That's why He has to be born of the Virgin Mary in order for Him to be fully human, holding on to His deity. He lived a perfect life without sin, obeying all of God's law. And He did that. And then He allowed Himself to be betrayed and arrested and persecuted. That was the punishment. They whipped Him. They spat on Him. They mocked Him by weaving a crown of thorns and forced it down His head. Blood flowed and covered his entire face, front and back. They covered his head and then they punched him before they put the crown of thorns on him and mocked him and said, "You're a prophet, right? Tell us who punched you, Mr. Prophet." And then they ripped his back apart by scourging him. He endured all the pain and the shame on our behalf, any and every sinner's behalf. That's why he came, to be man's substitute. And then finally, ultimately, he allowed himself to be crucified, to hang on the cross naked in shame and in great pain and torment until he died. That's why he came. That's why he walked into the gate of the city of Nain to tell us this message. I came to save you from death by becoming your substitute tonight. Do you want Jesus Christ to be your substitute tonight? That's all it takes. Freely offered. This young man came down from heaven. Jesus did not raise him from the dead from hell. No one can escape from hell. Anyone and everyone who die in sin will end up in hell. And in hell they are going to be punished forever and ever, because that is the heinous nature of the sins that we have committed against the thrice holy God. And God never over-punishes anyone. He is the perfect God who will uphold perfect justice. Not like men. Sometimes we overpunish, sometimes we underpunish, sometimes we are fair. God doesn't behave in that manner. He often underpunishes us because of his mercy. You and I know, the moment we sin, he could have struck us dead. But he did not. He allowed you and me to remain on earth. He continued to give you health and strength. He continued to provide for you, give you the sun, light, and the rain. Even though you have rejected him so many times, even though you continue to sin against him, he has been showing mercy, under punishing. But the moment we die, his justice will fall upon us in his fairness. And everyone who died in sin will be in hell, in spirit, and then after that, the lake of fire. God doesn't want to see any sinner end up like that. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, to let us know that if you accept him willingly, freely, with all your heart, unconditionally surrender your life, knowing that you have sinned against God, and Jesus Christ can be your substitute to take the wrath of God, the punishment that you and I know we deserve, on his body. He has already done it. 2,000 years ago, he came, he suffered, he lived, he died. All you need tonight is to accept freely, willingly. He offered to all. Doesn't matter what sins you have committed, his blood can wash away that sin. Don't have to pay anything, don't have to do anything, just simply believe. That's all it takes. Like a man who just simply stretch out his hand and drink that living water and quench his thirsty soul. Do you not have this longing and this thirst within your own heart, in your own soul, to get rid of death and get rid of sin in your life? How long have you been living? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? The longer you live, the longer will your list of sins be. You know that. And every night you go to sleep with this long list of sin weighing you down. And you could be sleeping for the last time, not knowing whether you're going to wake up the next morning as you grow older and older. Every day is like a new day for you, isn't it? Because you never know whether it will be the last. Isn't that how old people think? Every day, you thank God you can wake up. But don't go to sleep with this heavy load of sin weighing you down. And from tonight, you know that if you die in your sin, hell waits for you. You cannot now claim, "I don't know where I'm going to go after I die." Now you know. God revealed this to us. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed this to us tonight. Now you know. Won't you want to do something to make a change? You don't have to die in sin and end up in hell. You know that. Because Jesus Christ came just as he came to this city gate of Nain to raise this man from the dead, to bring him down from heaven, to help us understand that Jesus Christ can also save you even when you die. You don't have to die in sin. You will die in Christ, and to heaven you will go. Because he will wash away all your sins by his precious blood. If you accept Jesus Christ as your substitute, the wrath of God had already fallen on him. He had already been punished by God for the sins you have committed against God, and God will never punish you again because Jesus Christ had already been punished for it. Double jeopardy will not be God's way of dealing with us. But all you need to do is to believe in your heart, to get yourself out of hell and into heaven. And one day he will give you a glorious body, no longer made of the dust of this ground, this earth. It will be a body that is glorious, powerful, immortal. Health and wealth forever in a perfect environment in heaven. Because of sin, we cannot experience this. Get rid of sin, get rid of death, get rid of decay, get rid of hell. The option is clear. Why do you want to choose to reject God's love for you in Christ, dear friend? It makes no sense. Literally, it makes no sense. You and I know of many people who spend thousands and tens of thousands, if not more than that, just to get rid of cancer. And even after the doctor tells them, we can get rid of cancer, but you know we can't get rid of death, you know. You can be cancer-free after 5 years or so, but then death will still be the ultimate end. And you will still want to try it, get cured. No matter how onerous, no matter how difficult, you will try. And here God offers you. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. You just have to admit and know that you are a sinner before God, and you know that. And Jesus Christ will come to help you get rid of sin in your life, to deliver you from this bondage of sin that you have been living in all your life. He will free you, and he will deliver you from death and from hell. All you need is to believe. That's all it takes. He has done everything for you. All you need to do is to believe. God has seen this world in need of his mercy and his grace. And he did it freely, willingly. He sent his only begotten Son to live, to suffer, and to die on your behalf. Don't reject his love. Don't turn your back on your Savior who gave everything for you. That would be the worst decision you will make for the rest of eternity. You cannot do that. Why would you? In all things temporal, you would know what to do. Right? In all things temporal, that comes with a guarantee. You and I would do it. Right? You tell a man, you buy this 4-digit first price. He will sell everything to buy it. It's only for earthly treasure. Whatever. He will do it. You give him the guarantee. Here God gives you the guarantee. Want to live forever? Christ has solved all the problems for you to live forever. He has satisfied God's justice that will now deal with your sin, your death. He has done everything. All you need is to answer this question. Do you want to live forever on Christ's terms? Not on your own. And his terms are very simple. Without prejudice, without any favor of man. Whether you're a king or a beggar or a pauper, All you need is to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ lived, suffered, and died for your sins, and confess with your mouth that he rose from the dead for your justification, and all your sins will be forgiven and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will no longer be bound for hell. You'll be bound for heaven. And so the question remains tonight. Will you live forever? Do you want it? Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart tonight, helping us realize and understand that for all of us, we are at a very important crossroad of our lives. For we do not know what happens tomorrow, but we know that today, if we were to answer the question, do I want to live forever? May the Lord Jesus Christ be the answer to such a soul, to help him realize and understand that he can live forever in heaven with thee. And he does not need to die in his sin and be cast into hell and be punished forever. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit bring conviction to every heart tonight, that all of us may realize and understand how good thy grace is, that we can live forever in heaven according to the terms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived, who suffered, and to die for any and every sinner, if only he would accept and believe. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and conversion to every heart. For Jesus' sake, O God, may thou hear our humble cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.